So, first...
This question is for Dr. Jacobson.
Okay.
Microphone debate, maybe we can answer.
Sure.
Dr. Jacobson, you are a renowned, published veterinarian in internal conservationist. Recently, the state of Tennessee prohibits the possession of all turtles in Tennessee, wild caught, captive bred, native, not native. In your professional opinion, should they re-examine that law because it has a utility for public education, the possession of turtles?
Of course, I would have to see the justification for that.
Salmonella.
To me, that's not enough.
I was going to ask the same question for Dr. Murphy. There are granola bars, as we call them. Why can't they just recall turtles infected with salmonella, if you would, behind? If not,
I don't have any comment.
Yes, right.
It's all right.
Thank you.
Gentleman in the blue shirt in the back.
Yeah, this is for a Dr. Dante. Is there a lot of interspecies,
Sorry about that.
Okay. Is there, like, a lot of, like, let's say you have, like, one infected pod with, like, one infected population. You have, like, let's say, like, a deer herd walking through that same area. Is there a chance that, you know, those can become, you know, saturated in that water and possibly that pathogen or fungus, and then traveling to, let's say, another pod and kind of, you know, introducing the same strain and the same pathogen as well? Has that been really looked upon, like, seeing how interspecies react to different locations and colonies and whatnot, and how that affects it?
There's a ton of research going on right now in how amphibian kindred bugs move from plant A to plant B. Unfortunately, it's predictable the rate at which it will move, to the point where Karen Lips was able to predict almost to the month when amphibian kindred fungus would arrive at the L of Y panel. And she was right. She was right within like a week. And there's a lot of belief right now that freshwater riparian and having birds are moving around on their feet, moving from stream to stream. That's sort of the logical thought process. We do know that saltwater kills it, so anything that waves along in a marine environment or an estuary is not going to be a good vector or species to move that around.
And even tropical storms or even high density storms, flash floodings, and that could also, I guess, contribute to the spread.
I would say that we could all come sit here and probably come up with a million scenarios that would effectively move it from plenty to plenty. I think birds are a likely thing to look at, and there's a lot of research going right now into snakes moving around. Snakes carrying it on their skin, not being infected with it, just having it on their skin.
Okay, thank you. Ken
Foos. Dr. Murphy. Several questions. First of all, why is it against the law to sell turtles by 4 inches? I know the technical answer. Why is it that turtles 3 or 4 inches are illegal to sell? And turtles that are 4 1/4 inches are legal to sell?
Yeah. Okay. The question is about the 4-inch rule. And if you'll bear with me, maybe a slight amount of history of my understanding of the history. Back in the late 60s and 70s, quite a few turtles were sold, and there were outbreaks of salmonella, and they were associated and whatnot. And in 72, there was a regulation, and the various states handled it in various ways. And ultimately, FDA, the federal government became involved, and FDA became involved. And in 72, there was a regulation that addressed the risk posed by the pet turtles by prohibiting the importation of certain turtles, with a carapace of less than 6 inches in viable turtle eggs. And then, two, mandating that turtles and eggs shipped in interstate commerce be tested for and certified free of salmonella by the appropriate public health officials in the state of the origin. after some time, a matter of 2 or 3 years, there were still a number of outbreaks that had occurred in turtles that had been certified to be free of salmonella by the state from which they were shipped, in the state, in children that were cubes, in the state in which they were received, and those were traced back to certain farms and whatnot, and a number of those outbreaks occurred in a year or two period of time. And so the regulation was issued again in 75, banning the sale. And it's the one that I had up there, so I'm not going to read it back to you.
Why were they 4 inches?
I wasn't involved then. And to give the most complete answer to you, I can't do it right now, but I could provide for you, if you'd like, the actual Federal Register notice that was issued at the time that discusses the comments that came in. It's been talked before about comments coming in for regulations, notice and comment period, and all the comments that came in, the discussion that occurred later. So I can't quote for you verbatim where it is.
As a scientist, I'm just wondering if you can give a scientific explanation.
You can do an anecdotal report
of why.
I just know that that is the size of a child's mouth. And that a turtle larger than that wouldn't fit in a child's mouth.
But now I ask you,
now I know some children.
Petition-driven process.
In a very powerful term.
They did.
For decades now?
They have, and they did, and they will again, and yeah.
And they fail. Mm-hmm.
The data has been there to show that the turtle can be salmonella free.
But we know they can't.
Right.
No, the turtles can't be salmonella.
So their hack of showing that the turtles are salmonella free isn't a successful hack for changing the law, so you'll need to try a different hack.
Do I need to make humans more intelligent?
No, you just need to try a different argument. That argument didn't work. Try a different argument.
So I McDonald's toys. Just you know, try it. I just made a brief comment on that. I'm not sure how many petitions there have been historically. I don't know. Since 2005, sorry if I'm incorrect, but that's when CNM took over authority. There's been one petition from the turtle farmers in Louisiana, which was responded to, said, great progress has been made, good scientific advancement, but it didn't go quite far enough. And you may or may not know there was a lawsuit over that, and there's been response to that. So I think Jeff put it quite well in that it's not the position of CDM to say that it can never be done. But the data that was provided in that petition was insufficient to overturn the ban entirely to meet the request that they made. There was litigation over it, and the judge found that it was not an arbitrary and capricious finding on the part of FDA in not granting the petition as it was requested. It's not to say that it can't be done. So I'm trying to answer your question.
So I understand, and I'm not going to bring up why we sell chicken when we, because we eat chickens. So but okay, well, I guess that's it.
Did I answer your question?
Well, you did the way I exactly do. You would. Yes. Thank you very much.
And I also just wanted to point out, I know everybody says, oh, the numbers are small, and we're only looking at 200 people right now, but remember before, back in 72, we had 280,000 illnesses and kids attributed to salmonella from turtles. So we know the ban's working, it's working, you know, we don't know how many of these turtles are being sold right now because they are illegal and nobody's tracking how many they're being sold, but if we let the genie out of the bottle, then all of a sudden we have 300,000 kids with salmonella, we're going to put the genie back in the bottle. My concern is public health practice, sure.
I was visited by the officer because of the outbreak in Nevada, the current outbreak you have reported of salmonella. And he told me what store the salmonella had been traced back to, but he's going to sweep the city to make sure we're all in compliance. I was not. And but I've been to the place since then that he busted to sell the baby turtles, which was a little Chinese pet store in Chinatown that, by the way, also sells and baby turtles in the same stall, and they still sell them. I got rid of all mine.
Jim, you have a question? Along the same lines as what Ken is saying, I'd like to talk about the selective enforcement. And my issue is rendered sliders. And I come from the background of being a rescuer, a rehabber, concerned with native wildlife encroachment. For instance, the Rio Grande slider, turtle tops I've heard, have talked about the problems with predator sliders competing with their habitat and so on. I receive calls every week. I can't keep my turtle. They got too big, and it's always a predator slider. Now, when I called the FDA office in Austin, Texas, which is where I'm at, and asked them, are you going to do enforcement? Are you going to go to this county fair, go to this school fair, and do something? I was told no. We'll do enforcement soon. How can you have a regulation not do enforcement? Who's going to do enforcement? Oh, that's the health department. I turned around and called Ed and said, do you know anything about that? No. I've never heard of that before. And I've worked with animal control for many years. I was an animal control officer for many years. And I get law enforcement calls me and say, who's going to enforce this? Who do we turn to? And that's my question to you. Who do we turn to? Who do we call? Who is going to go out there and do something?
That's actually a pretty good question. I know that the Reptile Breeders Expo, the gift shops in Daytona just loaded with baby turtles. So.
Do we have an answer?
Is there a
don't get me wrong, I'm not upset about baby turtles in general, but registered spiders to me are a burden on the herp community.
My answer may be no more satisfactory to you than my previous answer, but that every case is different. All the details are different. In a number of, you know, some of the outbreaks that Dr. Wright mentioned, FDA worked with the state, and the state followed up, and the facility was kind of temporarily closed down, and there was disinfection, and they're back up and doing business. So each of the outbreaks are very fact-specific on how the enforcement action, if any, occurs. Yesterday, you heard in the panel on basically the more law enforcement folks here saying, depending on the case, and FDA is like Fish and Wildlife, and an enforcement action is put together. It goes to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice then determines its relative priority on how to enforce. And some cases go forward, and some cases don't go forward. I realize that that's not the most satisfactory answer for you, but I believe that that's the truth.
We've got time for two more questions. Mark,
real quick, I think the answer to the gentleman's question is not Raider Sliders, it's the cheapest turtle. The cheapest turtle is always an impulse buy. Impulse buy usually wears off the interest, or it's going to be has less staying power over time. If you take Mike's outfit out of it by just saying 4-inch turtles, you're still going to get calls. That might eat it.